Praise the Lord, church. Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers out there. And I'm excited. I love Father's Day. I get to go home and cook after this. I love cooking. And I just want to shout out to my son-in-law, Marvin. Wave your hand back there, Marv. And to my own father, John Grant, happy Father's Day. I will tell you, he will have a special place in heaven, not because of his spiritual intellect, because of his wisdom, but because of just simply putting up with three boys. And the things that he never had a complete set of tools his whole life. He never could find his nails because we were always stealing them. His hammers were always scattered around the yard. Lawnmowers never worked because, well, we were hard on stuff. And for that, Dad, I love you and I appreciate you. Now, last week, I missed out. It was Casey and Peter Sandin's wedding anniversary back in, man, I think this was back in like February or something like that. But the older you get, they say that the more your memory begins to kind of go. And so I asked Peter, I said, did I miss your anniversary? He says, anniversary? What are you talking about? So happy anniversary coming down. Peter and Casey are family pastors. And they're doing a great job. We love them. We appreciate them. I want to make them come right up front here. The girls are slowly all making their way down. It's a family affair. Congratulations. Mr. Casey, your hands are full, but congratulations. God bless you. Peter, Casey, Sandin, God bless you. Love you guys. It was Ron Wittenbach's birthday yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, is it 72, Ron? Is that right? Yeah. Got the old trucker horn there. And my wife got new glasses. I just think she looks so nice with her new glasses. I just want to tell you, she looks so much younger. I said, how come you didn't get these earlier? I mean, come on. I'm digging a really big hole. It's Father's Day, though. I get a mulligan, right? Don't we, dads? Don't we get a mulligan today? And I'm with that with the door prizes. I'm looking for the bucket for the Harley out there. So somebody could... my brother John's here. Happy Father's Day to you, John. Would you like to come up and sing for us? Then would you like to come up and preach? Okay. Well, I just gave him an offer, so you all know that. I offered he could sing or preach today, but... Also, we have a new member at Calvary Gospel Church, brand new baby Diana Kimberly Polk. Scott and Megan are the proud mommies and daddies. And somehow I think that little Diana Kimberly is going to know how to climb trees for some reason. Father's Day. Men, I just want to tell you that Menards 11% off sale starts today. Okay? Now, you can get an app on your phone, so you don't have to rely on the pastor to let you know when this stuff comes on. But it's 11% off sale, so just want to let you know that. And we are going to talk about this morning, and I've already got a little bit of flack from a couple ladies that are English majors among us here, and I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I will tell you where they're sitting. Sister Manley sitting directly behind Sister Ellen Hopp, and Sister Kitty Rossing is sitting right next to her husband, Glenn. So I just want to let you know, these ladies do not believe that you can make father an adjective. Have you ever heard of something like that? How many of you believe you can do that? You can't, really. We're going to talk about nouns, verbs, and adjectives today. And before we get into the meat of our little message here this morning, I just want to say that being a man and functioning as a man and taking responsibility as a man, thinking like a man, acting like a man, working like a man. All of these are prerequisites of being a good father. You know, being a good father is not just a pushover task in today's world. And you will not be a good father. Hear me now, dads. You will not be a good father until you have learned to become a good man. And it is a dying art today. And there's so many in our nation today that they look at just because they have children that they are a father. But having children does not necessarily make you a father. And to the ladies, I want to thank God. First of all, I want to thank God for all of the dads, all the fathers that we have here today. So can we just give all of our fathers a big hand, round of applause? And I just want to say, too, ladies, in case you haven't figured this out, men don't think the same way. Okay? And this is Father's Day, so being Father's Day, my wife got to speak on Mother's Day, so I get to speak on Father's Day. So I want to say whatever I want to say today. Can I do that? Can I just do that? So we don't think, and we don't always say what they think we mean. You ever kind of got caught in that? So I just want to give some examples, because when a man says it would take too long to explain, really what he's saying is, I simply have no idea how this works. And when a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard. Just take a break, you're working too hard. What we're really saying is we're trying to watch the game, and we can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says to his wife, that's interesting, dear, is what he's really actually saying and thinking in his mind. Are you still talking? When a man says it's a guy thing, what he really is saying is there's no rational thought, there's no pattern connected with this, and you have no chance of making any logical sense out of this at all. When a man says, can I help with dinner? What he's really saying is, how come it's already not on the table? When a man says, sure, honey, or yes, dear, what he's really saying is absolutely nothing. It's just a conditional response. Am I helping you out a little bit here? When a man says, you know how... You've been doing this a lot lately, huh, Brother Rodney? When a man says, you know how bad my memory is, what he means is I can remember the theme song to Hogan's Heroes. I can remember the first phone number of the girl that I ever met, and the vehicle ID numbers of every car that I owned. But yes, I did forget our anniversary, and I did forget your birthday. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal, what he's really saying is I probably cut a limb off, and I'm going to bleed to death before I admit that I'm hurt, so get over here and help me get to the hospital. When a man says, I can't find it, what that really means is I was laying right here on the ground and it did not fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. You guys still love me after all of this? When a man says, I heard you, he means, I don't have the foggiest clue of what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough that you will not spend the next 3 days upset at me. See, we just think different, guys. When a man says, you know I could never love anyone else, we're not even going to cover that one. When a man says, you look terrific, he's saying, please don't try on any more outfits. We're late and I'm starving to death. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. You see, if your husband says, honey, what color is this? This happens here at the office all the time. He means, you see, men only see 16 colors, kind of like Windows default settings. You see, peach, for example, to a man is not a color. That's a fruit. Brittany will come in and she'll say, well, what do you think about this? It's pumpkin. No, pumpkin is pie. Pumpkin's not a color. Pumpkin, and don't ask a guy what color taupe is. So, fathers, welcome to Father's Day 2018. And I want to thank God for all of the good, hardworking, godly men of Calvary Gospel Church. And thank you. So when we look at Father's Day, we have to look at and I was talking about nouns, verbs, and adjectives today. So what is a father? Well, if you go to the dictionary, you know the dictionary really doesn't do the name father justice very well. I thought it was kind of a really poor excuse. It just says a man in relation to his natural child or children. That's all it says, and it tells us that it's a noun. How many of you guys know what a noun is? How many of you guys, gals, I know the girls know, but guys, how many of you know what a noun is? A noun is that special tool that you have in your toolbox, right? No. A noun. What's a noun, guys? Person, place, or thing. Okay. Now, a noun can be in two different forms. What different forms do we have a noun in, guys? We have proper noun and a personal pronoun, right? Yeah, good. So a noun is, other than a pronoun, used to identify any class of people, places, or things, or common noun, or to name a particular one of these, it's called a proper noun. So father or father, depending on how it's used, can be one or the other. So what kind of noun, as far as it relates to Father's Day, what kind of noun, all you young guys, what kind of noun would father be as it relates to Father's Day? You got a choice of two. Some of you older guys want to help out here? It's a pronoun, isn't it? It's a proper noun because it's denoting a name. Father's Day. Am I right on that, Sister Manley? The dictionary says, no, I'm just kidding. So when you look at father, good rule of thumb is that if you're using the word as a title, then it should be capitalized. So Father's Day would be capitalized. So we have our own capitalized celebration, guys. Now, a verb. What's a verb? Men? Action. Yeah, a verb. So when we look at father, what would be what the dictionary says, and this is where I have a problem with this, because somebody to become a father of a child by making a woman pregnant, he claims to have fathered over 20 children. So verb just means if you have children that you can be a father. But I don't agree with that. And we're going to go into some of the reasons why. And then what's an adjective? What does an adjective do, Brian? Describe. So if you were to describe your wife and use one adjective, what would you use? Amazing. Look at that. He dodged a bullet. Now, what does an adjective describe? Brian? A noun, yes. And if you use your wife's name as a wife and a capital letter, what kind of noun would that be? An amazing noun? He's sweating there. It's a proper noun. You didn't know you were going to get this. So reading today, I want to read from Ezekiel 22, chapter 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. And as I said, I want to thank all of you fathers for coming here today. And I just want to speak, as I said, one thing about being a father, and this is one thing I've observed over the years is one doesn't have to have children to be a father. You don't have to be related to that young man or that young woman. You don't have to be connected via DNA in order to be a father. And we need a lot more godly men who are willing to stand up and step in some of these roles of some of these young men and young ladies that are desperately seeking that advice and that mentorship in their lives. So we're going to talk about nouns, verbs, and adjectives. And so what makes a good father? When you look at a good father, we look at the key attributes. And this is kind of some interrelating here today. What is an attribute? Can any of you young men tell me, does anybody know what an attribute, what would you describe an attribute as? Brother Ben? Something good? Okay. Anybody else want to take a shot at it? Guys? What's that? Characteristics. So I wrote down quality and characteristic. So as I've observed over the years, there's one key quality, one key characteristic, one key attribute that jumps out to me when I look at a father. So what I'm going to do today for the kids, we're going to use the word father, F-A-T-H-E-R, and we're going to look at each one of those letters, and we're going to come up with an attribute or a character for our fathers. So each letter starting or standing for a character or a quality trait. So any of you kids want to guess which letter is first in fathers? Right down here on the front. Yes, sir. F. Yes. Good job. First in fathers. Now, the F in father, I think, should stand for faithful. Because you see, just as an earthly father should be faithful, our heavenly father is faithful as well. Good fathers are faithful individuals. They are first faithful to God. A good father should be first faithful to God. A good father should trust God and trust God with their whole heart, with their whole soul, and with all of their mind. And good fathers believe that when God promises something, he's going to deliver. And God will preserve their family. And a good father knows that that God will provide for everything that their family needs, all the way from salvation, which is most important. In case some of you fathers weren't aware of that, salvation of your household should be your key priority as a father. The saving of your children's soul is more important than them having a new car or a new iPhone. All right? So we need to keep our... we just talked about priorities the other night. So a good father, it's important to provide love, patience, and provision for their families. Good fathers accept the role as a spiritual head of the household, and good fathers set the tone for family worship. I know this is generally not an area that most fathers look at and say, I need to set the tone in my family for family worship. But I think it would be a real great and awesome experience and an awesome thing that when we start to worship God here at church, that our fathers would be the first ones to come down to the front and begin to model to their children, to their families, and to the rest of the church just exactly how godly men worship the Lord. Good fathers know God's word. Good fathers have an active prayer life, and they attend church regularly with their families, and they obey the commandments that God has given to them. Now, we can look at many examples of faithful fathers when we look in the Bible. I just went right to Jesus' father, Joseph, because I think Jesus' father, Joseph, was a very, very faithful man. The reason I say that was because Mary was pregnant before Joseph and Mary got married, and when he was told that news by an angel, he believed the angel, and he was faithful. He was faithful in his relationship with Mary. He loved her. He treated her with dignity and with respect. So he was a very faithful a man. Also, when the angel came to Joseph after Jesus was a young toddler and says, you need to flee to Egypt, Joseph was faithful. He took his family. He was warned to go to Egypt. He took his family to Egypt and spared the life of his young son. So we also look at Abraham. What is Abraham? He's called the father of many nations, but he's also called the father of the faithful. The faithful. So Abraham, he faithfully believed that God had given him a promise and that his wife Sarah would bear a son at over 90 years of age, and he would be the father of a great nation. So to be a good father, what do you have to be, folks? Faithful. So we need another letter. What letter comes next in father? A. I thought we'd have more children participating here today. We're all just big kids, right? All right, so we can all do this. A. A stands for action. Because you see, a good father has to be a person of action. Most dads like to watch sports. Some have a few hobbies. I know a dad that loves trains as a hobby. And trains aren't any fun if they're just sitting still. Okay? Trains were made to go. And I know some dads kind of like to just have that downtime where they come home from a busy day at work and they like to relax on the couch or maybe their recliner chair and just kind of veg out for a little bit. But despite of our occasional laziness, which is okay at times, I think every dad ought to get a good nap in from time to time. All right? I just think that is just so important. Sunday afternoons, especially sometimes Saturdays, it's just, yes, can I get a witness in the house? Yes. Never thought that talking about naps would get this much of a amen going on here, but good fathers, they just don't sit around when the family is in crisis, when the family needs something, they're there and they're involved. They don't just sit there, they spring into action. When the toilets overflow, we've all had that. Dads, I have pulled toys out of toilets. A fire truck, I pulled a fire truck out of a toilet once. The hardest thing I ever got out of a toilet, Brother Hawk, was a 13/16 deep socket, Craftsman socket out of a toilet. That was a tough one to get out. But see, when the toilets overflow, the garbage disposal breaks. It always breaks right before company's coming or right before Christmas or Thanksgiving. I know because that's when we were always putting in a lot of garbage disposals and such. When something important around the house needs to be fixed, good fathers spring into action, and they take care of it. They know how to get things done. They solve problems. That's what dads do. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, Dad, but to your children, you're a problem solver. I think Sister Jane Rossing said that Ron Wittenbach, he knew everything. And I would kind of incline to believe that. Some of these older aging gentlemen around here have a lot of wisdom and knowledge. Why is that? Why does John Grant have so much wisdom? Because he just messed up a lot and he learned from it. That's how we learn, right, gentlemen? I'm not saying he's a failure. We just make mistakes. And wisdom shows that we learn from those mistakes. Stupidity says we don't learn from them. We keep doing it over and over again. That's why a wise man will never tell you that he made that mistake. He'll just nod his head and smile like, yep, he's thinking, been there, done that, learned from that. Good dads know how to get things done. And good fathers also instill a good work ethic in their children. And you lead fathers by example. And children need to see good, hardworking fathers and good fathers challenging their children to learn, because kids learn by doing. Fathers, even if it takes longer to do something, teach your children, take your children. I remember my dad teaching us how to run skill saws and chop saws, radial arm saws, table saws, jig saws, what kind of nails were used for what application and all of these different things. We found out because cement nails don't make good tree forts. Because Dad taught us, you know, boys, these cement nails aren't designed to hold lumber in trees. They're designed to pound into concrete. And he took the time to teach us. Remember many, many times he would be working in the garage building furniture for Sunday school, and we're building boats out of the scraps. And the good fathers also watch over their children and give them space to learn from the mistakes that they make. Because sometimes we can't always stop our children from making mistakes. So let them sometimes make that mistake and help them to learn from that mistake, because the truth of the matter is, fathers, we do boo-boo at work. We've made those mistakes at work. We've maybe perhaps been called in because we cost the company money. And our families sometimes never even know about that, because we don't want to worry them with those type of things. But in our minds, we go home sometimes and we have very little patience for our children when our children make simple mistakes. So be patient, dads. And life really can be like a big field trip of learning. Make life fun and interesting for your children. Good fathers are actively engaged in the lives of their children. Next we have T. And as you go along here, you're thinking he's taking so many minutes with each letter, so we'll be out of here at a certain amount of time. Good fathers calculate.
Yes.
Good fathers are teachers, and they prepare their children to enter into adulthood and face the tough world around him. And this means, fathers, that it's up to us to teach our sons and to teach our daughters what it takes to survive in the world in which they're going to live in. We can't always have our children living in the basement, okay? I just recently read where some mom and dad had to go to court to evict their son for living in the basement. There does come a point where it's time for that little bird to spread their wings and to fly. And unfortunately, the problem is today most children don't want to listen to the advice of their fathers. And part of this is really due to the fact that in order to be a good teacher, as in a good father, that father must also be a good learner. And we have a whole generation of fathers growing up that they're not very good learners. And listen, you can't Google everything you need to learn about in life. It's not on Google. There's some things you just simply have to go through and experience. Also, fathers must be credible. Listen, if you're going to take and you're going to earn the love and respect of those men that you work with, you need to earn the love and respect of your children. And Ephesians 6:4 states, fathers, and I'm reading a revised version of this. Fathers, do not exasperate, annoy, or provoke your children to wrath. Now, when it comes to your children, I've seen this many, many, many times where a father will actually poke fun of his child to the point of embarrassment for that child. And then that child becomes frustrated. And when the child becomes frustrated and gets angry, then the dad punishes the child. Dads, we don't always have to. First of all, nobody likes being corrected, ridiculed, or made fun of in front of their peers. All right? So, dads, it doesn't show your machoism by chewing out your little child or your son or your daughter in front of all of their friends. Okay? It just shows that really sometimes I'm just going to use the word ignorance. Can I do that? You may say, well, you know, if you ever chewed out your daughter in front of her friends, I've tried in my entire life to pick the times that I want to teach my child to learn something. And I'm going to pick those moments. They're not going to forget that they dented the car You don't have to make fun of them in front of the whole neighborhood. They're going to know because the next time they go out to get in the car, that dent's going to be there. That broken taillight's going to be there. We've all done that, dads. I pulled in the driveway not too long ago, pulled in one car, closed the garage door. Actually, the car was in the garage. I pulled in behind the car, go in the garage door, close the door, go in, change clothes, going to go to the hospital, decide I'm going to take the different vehicle, open the garage door, and back right into the vehicle I just pulled in. See, dads, we do things like that too. So, as caution, fathers, don't criticize your children in front of their friends, their siblings. You want to teach them something? Take them into your bedroom and sit them down. Say, you know what? We're going to learn something from this. And focus on teaching them with the same love and understanding that God has for you and I. Just a thought. The H in father comes from hope. Good fathers offer hope to their families. Good fathers are a source of hope and inspiration to their families. And dads should be the pillar of strength. I love that when little boys are out there and they're trying to show their muscles and they're trying to say, my dad has bigger muscles than your dad. And they're trying to, remember that? In the block, you're trying to brag about your dad. And I remember reading a story of two boys in Hollywood. And one boy says, my dad can beat up your dad. And the other one says, oh, no, your dad can't beat up my dad because your dad is my dad. You see, hope. Good fathers should be optimistic. I know some dads that are just sad sacks, and I'm just wondering, man, is life really this hard? Have hope. Offer your children hope, your family. Let me ask you something, Dad. Do you trust your children? Do you trust your kids? Now, the average dad probably would say, boy, I'm never going to fully trust my kids. And I'd have to ask you, then why not? Because remember, you're the one that's responsible for teaching them that trust. And good fathers should trust their children. Now, what I'm not saying here is you should never ask questions. Okay? My dad, it seemed like he had a third eyeball behind his head. And we would do things and we're like, how in the world does he know this? Because he had good parental intuition. When all three boys come in and you say, what are you guys doing? Nothing. You know that they're up to something. So there's nothing wrong with asking a few questions. We need to trust our kids. You know, when they come in and they got cookies on their face and you say, did you get in those cookies? No. You got it all over your face. Tools laying out in the yard. I remember my dad come home once and his tool set was laying out in the yard. I was the only one home. It's really hard to lie about something when you're the only one there. Your truck hood's up, and there's stuff everywhere. Yes, Dad, I put the tools out. So, faith. I've heard it said, where there's no faith in the future, there's no power in the present. So when we look at being faithful, we look at the contrast of good fathers. You look at the parable of the prodigal son, the good fathers, they're forever hopeful and they inspire their families to push beyond themselves. That father would go out every day and look for his son. So then we come to E, a positive, good fathers are a positive example. Good impressions are important and good fathers are positive role models to their families. You know, kids tend to imitate and adopt their parents' behaviors. I can watch children walk across the vestibule and see them just from the backside. And his brother, Brother Ward Meyer says, I can tell who's who from the back. I can tell whose dad they are by the way they walk. And it's funny how that is, but kids imitate Young boys especially will imitate their fathers. And that's why it's very important, dads, that you got to be a good husband. You got to live a moral life, and you got to treat all people with respect and dignity, especially mom. And at the home, as the home spiritual leaders, good fathers will take an active role in their children's spiritual development. I just want to say something here as a sidebar. Even though I'm the pastor of this church, and we have a youth pastor, we have Sunday school pastor, it's not these men and these ladies' responsibilities to raise your children in the power of the Holy Ghost. We're here to assist you. We're here to help guide your families. But dads, that's your responsibility. And if you don't want that responsibility, then don't have the children. It's pretty simple. You can control that. So we cannot make you grow. As a pastor, I cannot make anyone here grow, and I cannot make anyone here become more mature in God. You have to make the decision that I'm going to grow, I'm going to become mature in God, I'm going to become a mature Christian, and I'm going to teach and train my family to grow and become mature in God as well. Now, I know moms typically spend more time with the children in a traditional home, but that doesn't mean that the father's role is underestimated. When we look at Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So the most important example that a father can make to his children is to love his mother, love his wife, love their mother, and to love God. That's the most important example that you could ever leave to your children. And finally, the R in a good father stands for reliable. You know, a good father should be reliable. Good fathers need to be responsible, and they need to be consistent. They work hard to bring home the bacon and provide for their family needs, and good fathers are helpful in a time of crisis, but sadly, so many men today are just simply not consistent in their duties as a father. And because they're not consistent in their duties as a father, they begin to neglect the importance of their role as a father themselves. And this is where we're having a breakdown in our culture today, is because so many men are not consistent in their fatherly duties. And fathers need to be reinstated to the level of importance that God intended for them to be. You know, God intended us, and Brother Scott Leonardson talked on this on Wednesday night, God intended us to be the head of the household. Does it mean that being the head of the household means that you're a boss and a tyrant? That's not what God, he didn't call us to be the dictator of the household. He said, somebody's got to be in charge. I'm going to put the man in charge. And that doesn't mean that as a man that you can't seek counsel from your wife, because God gave that woman to you as a helpmate. And some people say, well, you know, my wife doesn't do this, she doesn't do that. Don't complain to me because you chose her. What does that say about you? Just a thought, guys. You see, we need to be reliable. How many of you remember Dear Abby? I'm going to age some of us here. Dear Abby wrote something down years ago, and it says, if you want your children to keep their feet on the ground, then you need to put responsibility on their shoulders. And I'm thankful that my father put responsibility on the shoulders of his children. Because there are times, I told my wife not too long ago, I said, you know what, I am just sick of responsibility. You ever get that way, dads? You just get tired of it. I'm just tired of having to deal with all these responsibilities. But you see, really, responsibility isn't a curse, Dad. Responsibilities are a blessing. Booker T. Washington said, few things help an individual more than to place responsibility upon him and to let him know that you trust him. Yes, in order for children to grow into responsible adults, they need a stable and a reliable, responsible role models. Good fathers are consistent in how they meet life's challenges. good fathers are of proven character. They're irresponsible, or they're not irresponsible people will run away from their problems, but reliable fathers will face their problems head on, and they will lead a life of integrity. Now, fatherhood is not motherhood. And understand that. Dads were not moms, and moms, you're not dads. And dads think different than moms. We react different than moms, and we handle things different than moms. That's why God put a husband and a wife together as a family unit. So if we could have our musicians come, and if we could stand this morning, dads, we have to make some hard choices, and we have to realize that popular decisions are not always going to be the best decisions for our families. But good fathers are able to discern. They're able to develop their children's hearts, their souls, and their minds. And that's exactly the most important part as a father. You see, the problem is we sometimes will never know how successful or unsuccessful we are a father until our children are grown. And I don't know if you know this or not, dads, but we only get one shot. We only get one opportunity at life, and we only get one opportunity to properly raise our children. And it's just a shame today that so many families put so little into their children when they have such lasting consequences when it comes to that child and the life of that child and how they live their life in this world. So we're going to go back to where we started, back to the nouns. A common noun or a proper noun. A person, place, or thing denotes a title. Father and Father's Day is a proper noun, so Father's and Father's Day, it's a title. Now we have Father as an adjective, a word that describes our fathers. They're concerned, they're supportive, they're loving, they're caring, they're protective. And then a verb is a word that's used to describe an action. See, one of the problems that we have in our society today, Brother Hawk, is we have too many fathers that are just a noun. They're just a title. And we don't have enough fathers that are verbs, that there's action behind what they're doing. And then, as a father, perhaps today maybe you're a father in title only. But we need to be a father in title. We need to be a father as a verb in action. But we need to be surrounded by adjectives. We need to be surrounded by words or phrases that are naming an attribute, your character as it relates to you as a noun. So father is a noun, verb in action, and loving, kind, and patient, and godly as an adjective. So what I want to do, and I know that when we're finished with service here, there's no service tonight. I want all of you fathers to go home and spend time with your families. Don't go home and turn the TVs on. Don't go home and get involved in some video game. Get on social media. Go home. Spend some time with your children. Spend some time with your families. But before we do that, I think sometimes it does us good to just realign ourselves and say, you know what? I need to realign my priorities with God's priorities. I need to realign my responsibility as a father as the responsibilities that God gave me as a father. So if we could just have our dads today. Now, when I say fathers, I know some of you here are not a biological father, but you're still a dad. You're still a father. I want you to come. You may be an uncle. You may be a friend to a family. I want all of our dads, our fathers, our men. I'll just put that in that category as far as men. How's that? Even our young men, all of our men. You see, God created men and women. I'm not going to get into all the gender discussions because they have, there's 42 different genders they're telling me now. God created male and female. Sometimes I have a hard enough time figuring that out. So I want all of our younger men to come down in front of our older men. Can we do that? Can we do that? Some of our younger guys. You younger guys over here, come on down here in the front. You guys are always, Mr. Marcus, Mr. Chernikowski, Mr. Mackey, the Rossing brothers. Yes, you, Luther. Come on down here in the front. Just line up in the front. We can do this. And I appreciate the wisdom of our elders. Appreciate the wisdom of our bishop and Brother Dan Capaccio and Brother Ron Wittenbach and Kevin Brown and Bill Thorpe and Glenn Rossing and not so old Ben Thompson, but John Repka, Tom Nelson, Dave Shroud, Brother Brunker. Appreciate the wisdom of our older men. What I want to do is I just want to just take and just pray. And as we pray, I just want you to put your hand on the guy in front of you. Can you just do that? Just put your hand on the guy in front of you. There should be somebody touching you in the back, and you should be touching someone else other than the front row here. Let's just begin to pray that God would use us as anointed men. Lord, I thank you, God, for each and every man that's here today. Lord, the roles that you have given us as men, Lord, I pray, God, that we would no longer despise those roles at times. And we want to, we're in a world today, a society today, where it's about me, it's about my stuff. There's so much selfishness, Lord. God, I don't believe that all of our men here today have that attitude, but Lord, it can sometimes creep in. And yes, we need time to get away. We need time to relax. We need time. We need that time alone. But God, I pray, Lord, for each and every man that's here, God, that when they find that time alone, Lord, that you would be part of that time alone. I pray, God, that you would cause a stirring to rise within our hearts, within our souls, that passion, Lord, for being a godly man would be reunited, rekindled, Lord. I pray, God, I don't want to ever be as you're searching for godly men that you search to and fro and you can't find any godly men. Lord, I want to be able to someday, if you tarry, Lord, and I remain here, Lord, as pastor, to present a godly group of men from Calvary Gospel Church. I pray, God, as these men go through life, as they interact with their families and interact with each other, their jobs, Lord, that they would always remember, first is God, second is manhood. I pray, God, as they lead their families, as they lead their children, I pray, Lord, their relationships with their wives. I pray, God, for strong family units. Strong men make strong marriages, and strong marriages make strong families. And strong families will make strong churches. We'll make a strong nation. I thank you, Lord. I pray, God, a special blessing upon us. Each and every one of these men here today, from the youngest to the oldest, that your hand would be upon them, that you would use them, that you would speak through them, Lord. I thank you. I pray, God, a special blessing upon their day today. As we leave here, Lord, for safe travels, that they would have an enjoyable day with their families, a relaxing day. Pray, Lord, as they lead their family units in prayer, that the presence of the Holy Ghost would be felt around their dinner tables. Thank you, Lord, for what you've entrusted us with. I pray, God, that we not squander the opportunity that you have given us.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And ladies, I haven't left you out. I hope you are praying for your man. We need your prayers. If anyone here needs to pray or would like to pray, I'm going to allow the men, if you guys want to just shake hands, give a good manly hug one to another. But this altar is also open if anyone would like to pray. Men, if your fathers are not here today, I just want to encourage you to get on the phone this afternoon and give your dad a call. Say, well, my dad and I, we don't get along very well. Say a prayer and make your call.